Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky hopes to sway American lawmakers today to approve more money to help fight the war with Russia. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
In the middle of war against Russia, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has made the trip all the way to Washington, trying to move a stalled U.S. Congress, which is still gridlocked over how and when to approve new aid for Ukraine. Republicans in the House and Senate are insisting on new border security, immigration reform as part of an aid package. But the negotiators said late Monday there's no end to the talks in sight.
Harvard's Board of Governors is expected to announce a decision today on whether to fire President Claudine Gay over last week's testimony on Capitol Hill about dealing with anti-Semitism on campus. Over 700 faculty members have signed a letter urging the college to resist outside pressure to let her go. Among them, poli-sci professor Ryan Enos.
We didn't think that politicians should be forcing university presidents to resign or to say certain things or something like that. And also, you know, billionaire alumni on Twitter shouldn't be doing that either.
Yale University leaders condemning what they call the desecration of a public menorah after a protester hung a Palestinian flag on a large candelabra in New Haven. The Anti-Defamation League reports anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. have jumped 337% since the Israel-Hamas war began. Tragedy in New York City, where part of a seven-story building collapsed. Miraculously, no one was seriously injured, but 30 families have been left homeless 2 weeks before Christmas. Bronx Borough President Vanessa Gibson.
I think about the working people that have to go to work, the children that have to go to school, and their lives are disrupted right now.
The cause is under investigation. It'll be Disney versus Governor DeSantis in a Florida courtroom today. CBS's Peter King from Orlando.
The feud started when Disney Corporation publicly protested what critics call the Don't Say Gay law that was pushed by Governor DeSantis.
We're certainly not going to bend a knee to woke executives in California.
It led to the state outlawing Disney's special self-governing district and taking it over. Disney has sued DeSantis and others, saying they violated the company's rights to free speech by retaliating for public criticism.
It was a very big surprise for a homeowner in Tahoe Vista, California. Jim Colhoun came face to face with a brown bear on his front porch and a mama bear in his kitchen.
It's very particular. He ate my Raisin Bran but left my Cheerios. She just looked at me. I waved my arms, didn't do anything. Finally, she ambled down the stairs and off into the forest. The
city's been dealing with a rash of bear break-ins ahead of hibernation. S&P futures down one. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky hopes to sway American lawmakers today to approve more money to help fight the war with Russia. Correspondent Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
In the middle of war against Russia, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has made the trip all the way to Washington, trying to move a stalled U.S. Congress, which is still gridlocked over how and when to approve new aid for Ukraine. Republicans in the House and Senate are insisting on new border security, immigration reform as part of an aid package. but the negotiators said late Monday there's no end to the talks in sight.
Harvard's Board of Governors is expected to announce a decision today on whether to fire President Claudine Gay over last week's testimony on Capitol Hill about dealing with anti-Semitism on campus. Over 700 faculty members have signed a letter urging the college to resist outside pressure to let her go. Among them, poli-sci professor Ryan Enos.
We didn't think that politicians should be forcing university presidents to resign or to say certain things or something like that. And also, you know, billionaire alumni on Twitter shouldn't be doing that either.
Yale University leaders condemning what they call the desecration of a public menorah after a protester hung a Palestinian flag on a large candelabra in New Haven. The Anti-Defamation League reports anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. have jumped 337% since the Israel-Hamas war began. Tragedy in New York City, where part of a seven-story building collapsed. Miraculously, no one was seriously injured, but 30 families have been left homeless 2 weeks before Christmas. Bronx Borough President Vanessa Gibson.
I think about the working people that have to go to work, the children that have to go to school, and their lives are disrupted right now.
The cause is under investigation. It'll be Disney versus Governor DeSantis in a Florida courtroom today. CBS is Peter King from Orlando.
The feud started when Disney Corporation publicly protested what critics call the Don't Say Gay law that was pushed by Governor DeSantis.
We're certainly not going to bend a knee to woke executives in California.
It led to the state outlawing Disney's special self-governing district and taking it over. Disney has sued DeSantis and others, saying they violated the company's rights to free speech by retaliating for public criticism.
It was a very big surprise for a homeowner in Tahoe Vista, California. Jim Colhoun came face to face with a brown bear on his front porch and a mama bear in his kitchen.
Very particular. He ate my Raisin Bran but left my Cheerios. She just looked at me. I waved my arms, didn't do anything. Finally, she ambled down the stairs and off into the forest.
City's been dealing with a rash of bear break-ins ahead of hibernation. S&P futures down one. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Evan, we're going to pretend it's 6:06.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. See, now you're stepping all over my intro here.
Okay.
Here we go. It's Tuesday, December 12th. Another beautiful day to have you here from up north, have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network on the app, by podcast, or by social media. Here, this question will put it all into perspective. I got a question for you. Did you get a good night's sleep? Do you feel well rested? Or did you watch that turkey of a football game last night? Because if you did, you're probably as discombobulated as many of the rest of us. And we'll talk more about the Packers ending that three-game winning streak coming up in just a little bit here. But first, here is what else is on tap for this morning from our home base, 93.5, the Tap in Chippewa Falls. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said on Monday he would defend Donald Trump if the former president won the 2024 election in Wisconsin, because that's how much faith he has in the security and accuracy of Wisconsin elections. Now, contrast that with the state Senate Republican leader who refused Monday to remove a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, even though he served as a fake Trump elector and has had to legally rescind his false claims. We'll talk to Christina Lori. She has the uplift for us, some of the uplifting stories you find in our daily newsletter. And in our second hour, Congressman Mark Pocan will join us for an update on what you could call a forgettable 2023 for the House of Representatives, where a small Republican majority was the foundation for chaos and dysfunction compared to the previous session, where Democrats had an equally small majority and yet had one of the most productive two-year periods on record. We'll talk to Chad Holmes about what's happening in the Wausau area before his 8 a.m. show on Bull Falls Radio here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can be part of it all as well. You might do us a favor by talking for a while we don't, by calling us at 844-967-2789 or text us at 844-967-2789. Now, we'd love to share your texts. We can also share the messages that you put up on Facebook. You can catch us on the Civic Media Facebook page and the Up North News Facebook page as well. It is just about 6:10. Temperatures around the Civic Media Radio Network read like this. It's 24 right now here on Lake Wissota, 21 in Hayward. Park Falls coming in at 20, Wausau 21. Green Bay's at 27 degrees. La Crosse is 28. Wisconsin Rapids 23. Oshkosh 26 degrees right now. Madison 28. And it's 28 degrees in Waukesha, where we find the aforementioned, aforeheard, but not aforeseen, Greg Bach.
Hello.
Yeah, we're getting into that squirrely. Is it Christmas break time yet? And we appreciate your patience as we kind of juggle many things at once here. While we make holiday plans, some of us are racing toward vacation. Some of us are chasing after new puppies. You are not one of those folks who stays up and like watches entire Packer games when they're on Sunday and Monday nights, right?
No, I'm not going to lie. I'm not the biggest football fan. I keep up. I had a lot going on yesterday. So I knew they were playing on Sunday. I knew on Sunday that they were playing on Monday, and then Monday I completely forgot. Mm-hmm. So, but from what you're saying, I missed not a lot.
No, and the funny thing is, we were mocking Saturday or Sunday's game, the Vikings game, and so I guess you mock them, you got to deal with them. That's what we had going there. A 3-0 game, which was bad enough, but a 24-22 game can also be bad as well. And like I said, it breaks a 3-game winning streak for the Packers by allowing a late field goal. Here are the messy details. Jordan Love threw a 6-yard touchdown pass to rookie receiver Malik Heath with just over a minute and a half left in the game. But then the Packers went for two and failed. So if the Giants could just march down the field through a tired Packers defense, a field goal wouldn't simply tie it. It would win it. Well, they did, and they did. And before I tuned out very, very early in the third quarter, I'd seen enough of turnovers, penalties, muffed punt, missed field goal, injuries. Jordan Love was pretty sharp during that 3-game win streak, but kind of regressed a little bit. And so the Packers are now one of 6 teams with records of 6 wins and 7 losses, 6-7 teams with 4 games to go. And the next one for the Packers will be coming up this Sunday at home. After a couple of night games, we're getting back to the Sunday noon thing for a couple of weeks. So the next game, Sunday at home versus Tampa Bay, that will be at noon. And as with most Packer games, you can catch it on WRCO-FM radio from the center in Richland Center, WRJN-AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. And the Milwaukee Bucks needed overtime, but they beat the Chicago Bulls last night at the Fiserv Forum, 133-129. They will host Indiana tomorrow. After losing to the Pacers last week in Vegas in the quarterfinals of the in-season tournament, you can catch the Bucks on News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air at Amory, WRJN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls as well. Mark from the SAC gets to be caller number one today. What did Mark have to say, Mr. Bach?
Mark just wanted me to pass along a message to you and say that those fools in the state house should resign because they're not upholding the Constitution. And he had choice words to say about Devin LeMahieu, Robin Voss, and
let's get right into it, shall we?
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. We'll just jump right into it here and talk about, there's going to be kind of an overarching theme on this, and that is Republicans in both Madison and Washington not negotiating in good faith. And as a result, people are being harmed as a result. In Congress, you have aid to Ukraine that has been held up for months now. Israel has not received any aid whatsoever since the war with Hamas began.
because, again, of Republicans playing politics with the southern border. And so you have the same thing happening in Madison, where UW pay raises, which, again, have already been approved, are being blocked by one person, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. So you have a lot of bad faith negotiating where real folks are getting hurt. And so let's focus on Devin LeMahieu for a second, because although he claims publicly that he opposes Robin Voss's hold on UW pay raises, his hands are hardly clean, because he was asked recently about the fake Trump elector, Robert Spindell. Now, Robert Spindell is one of 10 Republicans who, you'll recall, last week had to settle a civil lawsuit, because they were basically trying to defraud the voters. They were lying about the election results, and part of settling the lawsuit, they had to file paperwork that rescinded their false claims about Donald Trump winning Wisconsin in 2020. Bob Spindell is one of those 10 fake electors, but he also is the only one of them who is a sitting member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. A member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission currently has just filed paperwork admitting he lied and committed fraud on the voters in 2020. Now, he doesn't face any criminal penalty. He didn't have to plead guilty. But the paperwork is there. The record is clear. And anybody in good faith would say, well, as part of this, Mr. Spindell, you cannot serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And if you don't have the honor to voluntarily step down, then we, the Senate Republicans, are going to remove you. Devin LeMahieu said, no, we're good. We're good. Because, you know, it was, he wasn't found guilty of anything. And, you know, how did LeMahieu put it here? The civil settlement explicitly states that the plaintiffs acknowledge that the defendants, including Commissioner Spindell, admit no guilt or culpability. Well, those are nice words, but the deeds are what they are. Now, by contrast, turn to Attorney General Josh Call, who said yesterday that if Donald Trump were to win Wisconsin next year, he would defend a Donald Trump victory against lawsuits challenging the election if the election is clean and fair, and that's what he expects. That's how much faith he has in Wisconsin's election system, that he would defend the results even if he didn't like the results. This should not be news, defending democracy and saying you will abide by its most basic tenets. But that is where we are now, that we have to make sure that we say explicitly the Democratic state attorney general will defend Donald Trump if he wins in Wisconsin next year, while the leader of the Senate Republicans is keeping an admitted election liar on the Wisconsin Elections Commission overseeing those same elections. And we'll take it a step further for Senate Republicans. It's quite likely now, after the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents rejected Robin Voss's scheme to essentially blackmail the UW, he's holding hostage their pay raises and trying to get rid of diversity programs, it's quite possible Senate Republicans will now try to unseat some of the regents or some more of Governor Tony Evers' appointees, because when you can't win on the merits of your argument, you do things hostile to democracy. We'll pause here. We'll continue to unpack the news in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in just a moment.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Little birdie, why do you fly upside down?
This is Joe Williams, who was a very well-regarded jazz singer in his day. Not with us now, but this is the anniversary of his birth, as you'll find out in today's history lesson. But my favorite tune from him is off of the Happy Anniversary Charlie Brown soundtrack, and a little song about Woodstock on this Tuesday morning, just about 6:21 right now. Let's turn our attention to Texas for just a moment, because there's an update on the case there that we discussed yesterday about a woman, Katie Cox. She's 31. She's got a couple of kids, pregnant with her third, wanted to be pregnant, but because of a fetal anomaly, the fetus is not viable, will die either before or shortly after delivery, and sought permission for an abortion. She had to seek permission for an abortion because Texas has an abortion ban. And that abortion ban says you can't have an abortion after, you know, so long, and unless it's medically necessary. They put some kind of vague language in there. And if anybody qualifies for an abortion through that exception, you'd have to think it would be a non-viable pregnancy, especially to protect the woman's health and preserve her future fertility options. She may want to have another baby. But she had to go to court, and a court said yes, but then the Texas Attorney General recently tried in an impeachment trial somebody who frankly has no business being in office and is, you know, a borderline criminal himself, instead took this to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court sided with him, at least temporarily, and said, nope, she and her doctors haven't done enough to qualify for the medical exemption in the abortion ban. Well, we learned late yesterday that Katie Cox has left Texas to get the care that she needs to end her pregnancy, to preserve her health, and allow her to get pregnant in the future if she chooses. And the Texas Supreme Court, as a result of that, went ahead and ruled against her in the case itself, saying, yep, she had not done enough to show that she qualifies for the ban. And if this sounds rather, you know, dystopian, it should. This is the worst case scenario. This is the real death panels that Republicans and conservatives were talking about during the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act debate was all about providing more healthcare, providing more options, providing more individual choice and control over your healthcare. But to oppose it, to stand up for the big insurance companies, conservatives made up things about death panels. But that's what we actually have right now. We're going to have in Texas and in other states like Texas, we're going to have the somewhat equivalent case of fertility courts, where judges will decide, not doctors, the judges will decide if you, the woman, have jumped through all the right hoops in order to get the care that you need to stay healthy. And we don't really have to give you a good reason. We, the new fertility courts of the future, can just say, nope, we don't. And you'll just have to leave the state. Which, by the way, gets us to one of our most fundamental debates in this country. And that is, do we want to be one United States of America?
There are plenty of people who to this day, from the earliest days of our republic, have said, no, we're pretty good with being essentially 50 sovereigns. And you can take that point of view, but then what you end up with is a checkerboard. The rights that you have in one state are not the rights that you have in another state. And at some point, you always have to draw a line. Like, are we a country? Are we one country or not? And at the country level, at the national level, aren't there certain rights you should have border to border, coast to coast? And people would say, yeah, of course, they're in the Constitution. And they're in the courts that interpret the Constitution. But when courts like the right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court threw out Roe v. Wade and said, well, abortion is not one of those rights. We want the checkerboard where you have to go from state to state. Then people like Katie Cox have to do that. She didn't think she would have to do that. She never would have guessed that. And yet it happened to her. And so what's to say for any woman of childbearing age listening right now, what's to say something like that can't happen to you? To this day, there is a district attorney in Sheboygan County who says he's going to abide by the new ruling out of Dane County that that state law from 1849 is not actually an abortion ban. But even as he says he's going to abide by the ruling, he is appealing the ruling. And it is not out of bounds to suggest that in a county like Sheboygan County, all it takes is one rogue DA or one rogue law enforcement officer. And there is a Katie Cox out there somewhere in Sheboygan County or in some other county, and or her doctor. And we're going to read a story one day that they're in the county jail based on an interpretation of an 1849 law that they now want to take, say, through the federal courts to try to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court and see if they can get the U.S. Supreme Court to have a different interpretation than what the Wisconsin Supreme Court might do about a state law. And you get into all kinds of legal weeds then, as far as, you know, when can the U.S. Supreme Court get involved in something? But the conservative justices on this court have already proven their willingness to do that. One more quick story to tell you about. It's a rather troubling story. It's out of Trempealeau County, where the coroner there, stonewalled the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for over a year. It was the only county in the state that did not provide gun death records as the Journal Sentinel was doing a statewide examination of firearm deaths in Wisconsin. The Journal Sentinel looked and found that gun deaths have doubled in the state since 2004, with suicides in rural areas making up a big part of the picture. Suicides account for 71% of all gun deaths. And as part of a project through the O'Brien Fellowship in Public Service Journalism at Marquette University, reporters obtained and analyzed data from records provided by all the counties, except Trempealeau County, where the county coroner, Bonnie Kinschke, ignored the Journal Sentinel's request, ignored several follow-ups. The Corporation Council then failed to respond to the Journal Sentinel. And it was only when the Journal Sentinel finally threatened a lawsuit that they provided the data that had been requested properly under open records laws. Kinschke told a reporter in June, I'm not digging through those records for you. I've told you that a dozen times. I don't understand why you can't understand that. This is ridiculous. Goodbye. And she then hung up on the reporter. And now, under threat of a lawsuit, the county has put forward the records. But the coroner says that she would not do so again in the future. She said, I consider my information about families that have been through the worst possible times in their life when they've lost somebody they love, it should not be open to the public or anybody else. That's not for her to decide. And that's the kind of, again, behavior that is in line with what we're seeing from certain other corners of our politics today, that they put themselves above the law, they put themselves above democracy, they put themselves above open records. The Journal Sentinel was not releasing any identifiable information in this record. Kinschke knew that and decided that she could be above the law. We'll talk to Christina Laurie with The Uplift right after this break. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky heads to Capitol Hill today to urge U.S. lawmakers to pass a stalled aid package to help fight the war with Russia. Former U.S. Ambassador Stephen Pfeiffer.
What I worry about is the question of assistance to Ukraine, which is an important U.S. national interest, is now getting tangled in American domestic politics.
Harvard's Board of Governors expected to issue a decision on college president Claudine Gay today, who's under fire for remarks about anti-Semitism on campus. Students say the uproar is a distraction.
It makes it definitely harder to concentrate on schoolwork.
30 New York City families are homeless after part of a seven-story apartment building collapsed. Bronx Borough President Vanessa Gibson.
Obviously, we have to do an investigation to figure out what happened. This is an aging city. We have an aging infrastructure. Many of our residential buildings are old, but this building did have a scaffolding on it for quite some time.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state Senate's top Republican says he's standing by the state elections commissioner who acted as a false elector after the 2020 presidential election. Bob Spindell and nine other false electors settled a civil lawsuit last week saying they acted to overturn the results of that election. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said Monday that he will not remove Spindell from the elections commission despite calls from Democrats for his removal. A new poll suggests more people in Wisconsin are buying guns for self-protection. The Journal Sentinel and Marquette University polled 354 Wisconsin gun owners recently. It's the most extensive survey of Wisconsin's gun owners' opinions so far. Roughly half of Wisconsin's homes have guns in them. The survey finds 3-8% of Wisconsin gun owners say they've pulled a trigger in self-defense. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected today with a high of 32. West winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 21. High of 36 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shocked?
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
One more time before we take a holiday break, we bring on Christina Laurie, who has the uplift for us. Some uplifting stories from our daily newsletter. Sign up for it, of course, at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. I'm bringing some extra holiday cheer with today's stories, Pat.
Awesome. Yes, I clearly see that from the quick little bullet points that you sent me here. But before we get to those, not that you have to give away your whole holiday plans here, I'm just going to say, what are you most looking forward to? Either something specific for this year or something that you look forward to every year. What are you anticipating most?
I mean, I am almost 30 years old and Santa still does visit my parents' house, you know, so I can't say that I'm not excited for Santa. I mean, I wouldn't want to slam him. He does bring me some good stuff every year.
Well, he clearly has a couple of good elves. Yeah, if that's the case.
Yes, but it's always Christmas for me is just being at home with my parents and my brother. And we just kind of keep it our family of four. Christmas Day, we just use it as an opportunity to never get out of our pajamas. And we have a tradition where we only are allowed to eat breakfast foods or desserts all day. So if we make it a rule, then you don't feel bad about not including any vegetables or fruits, right?
That's awesome. Those actually are some of my favorite memories with my daughters in their, I'd say preteen and early teen years. There were some Christmases, or more likely New Year's days, where we didn't get out of pajamas all day. There'd all be marathons on TV of one sort or another. And those actually are some of my favorite memories. So that's awesome that you guys make it a yearly thing.
New Year's Day is a good excuse to do that too. We do that when we watch the Rose Bowl parade, but it's been a little lackluster the past few years because the new orientation of how they do the college football playoffs means that big teams aren't in it as much. It was so much more exciting when Wisconsin was in it or Illinois, where I was from, but now they're just seemingly random mashups. And
The Badgers did somehow manage to sneak into a New Year's Day bowl, ReliaQuest Bowl that nobody's heard of, but it's New Year's Day. So when is Illinois playing their bowl game? Sorry. I didn't know. I don't follow. It feels like everybody gets a bowl game these days.
I know. You would think. And they lost out of all things. This would be like Wisconsin, you know, missing out on a bowl game because they lost to Minnesota in the last seconds of the game. That's what happened to Illinois with Northwestern. So,
okay. All right.
Much too soon. Come on. Can we switch the subject?
My condolences. Let's go to another family that makes the most of the holidays. They are in Caledonia, and you're telling me that they found a way to turn their holiday light show into a children's book. Tell us more about that.
Well, they're really an awesome family, the Benders, and they've been in charge of a drive-through display that's in Racine County. It's been open since 2009. And if you think that your neighbor set up their lights early, maybe they put them up somewhere like the week before Thanksgiving, the Benders start, get this, immediately after Columbus Day. So that's before Halloween. So you cannot complain. And they have a good reason, because it takes them that long to get their entire 1.6 mile winding show all set up. They put so much effort into it. It is so beautiful. It's located at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Camp Resort, which is along Highway 38. And it's so popular that they decided to turn it into a children's book. And this children's book has a really great meaning. It's called Evie, the Evergreen Finds Her Shine. Based on the light show, and the book basically follows a girl, Sophia, and her brother, Jax, who stumble across Evie, who's a pine tree that feels different from the other trees in the forest. So throughout the story, the siblings, they have to teach Evie how to shine in her own way. And what's cool about this experience is that light shows, you know, they can be fun for kids, but it's more like, you know, they want something more. They want like food, or they want to meet Santa or something out of it. And this show combines all of that. So you can drive through the show all the way and stop by Santa's workshop, which happens to be on site there. I don't know how we got so lucky to be here in Wisconsin, but Santa will read them the book and then send them on their way with some treats too. So it's really an all-in-one magical experience.
Personal observation. I love when these things, you know, talk about like Evie and being a little unique and different. And you see it with some of the newer holiday specials, because it always reminds us that as beloved as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is, the 1964 TV special, it really was rooted in Donner, the dad, and Santa both being big-time jerks because Rudolph wasn't a conformist. And so while we still air that thing, we thankfully have a new generation that is, shall we say, more with the times.
And it's weird because it never bothered me before, but just now how much we are in HD format, the stop motion features that they use, they just don't translate as well. I still love it for the nostalgia, but it just looks extra dated. So I can't even imagine for kids who never experience life not in HD.
I have to say, though, the thing about that particular special, it gave us the bumble. And we still, that's still a word we use here. If somebody is too short to put something on a high shelf, they're like, I need a bumble. And, you know, then somebody taller will come running. Our next subject here, again, something you wouldn't expect in Wisconsin, because we saw Will Ferrell do this in the movie Elf. He ran into a place and he said to them, "You did it. Congratulations. World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. Great to meet you. Hi." And then he left the place. Turns out that wasn't in New York City. It was in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, technically, by the latest standards, I'm glad you referenced that, because that part, I'm glad you got the joke. Buddy would approve of this. The world's best cup of coffee was brewed right here at Madison's JBC Coffee Roasters. They won the number one coffee of 2023 award in an international competition. Now, the specific award winner is JBC's Wilton Benitez Pink Bourbon, which is a very specific brew. You have to like strong coffee to enjoy it. But I'm personally not a coffee person, so I cannot give you my thorough review of it. But I mean, we should maybe put out a call. Like, do you think that Will Ferrell will come and try it to let us know how it compares with that crappy cup of coffee in New York City, in the words of Zooey Deschanel's character?
Mm-hmm. Could be. I mean, look, you had me at bourbon. I'm willing to give it a try. So we'll see. So look for that in one of our newsletter editions. There is a controversial ranking of the best and the worst Christmas candy. Please don't get me in trouble. I got in enough trouble last week saying that, you know, Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time was the worst holiday song. Clearly some people disagree with me, Greg, but now we're going to do it with Christmas candy. Where do you want to start?
Wow, that you brought up the worst Christmas song. I was going to say nothing competes with Christmas Shoes. Have you ever heard that song? It's the saddest Christmas song.
I've heard of it, but no, thank you.
Ugh. If you'd like to cry, people listening to this, please Google that. But moving on to something happier. Okay, yes. So there's this controversial list of both the best and the worst Christmas candy. So I'm going to start with the best. Wisconsin's favorite Christmas candies. I'm very confused how this is Christmas, other than the fact that the wrappers are red and green, but apparently Starburst has put out what it calls a merry mix. And that's what Wisconsin is buying the most of, according to data from candystore.com.
Never even heard of it, much less that people are buying it.
Yes. I mean, it's great. It just isn't traditional Christmas. Number two is definitely more traditional, peppermint bark. But that's where it gets controversial, because that was also ranked as number two on the worst list. So apparently it's very divisive.
Yeah, very much a love it or hate it. Okay.
Well, and then number three, we're getting even more controversial. Again, this is the best list, but reindeer corn, which you may be wondering, what the heck is that? That is the same thing as candy corn, which is dyed colors.
Who put this together? Who am I mad at?
Candystore.com, and it's according to their official data. So
their official data.
I argue with the numbers, but okay. If we want to move to the worst Christmas candy, number one was Christmas nougat. It was described as squishy, minty, and overall weird. I've never seen it offered to me. I would like to try it just out of curiosity. But also on the list, this is controversial because I think these are delicious. Chocolate-covered cherry cordials.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are delicious. So
they are.
Have you had those?
Are you sure? Yes. Are you sure you didn't like transpose these lists or something?
I am sure. Okay. Because also stocked up on this list are chocolate oranges, which are gross. ribbon candy, which is just kind of uneventful. It looks nice, but doesn't taste very good. Yeah. And then Peeps, which are always controversial.
Wait, Peeps? The I love Easter candy?
Yeah, well, they make them for pretty much every holiday now. You can find them in Christmas tree shapes, reindeer shapes, snowmen shapes. They're good. If before you slam them, this time of year, they should be selling them. Because what's really good when it's cold is hot chocolate. And you put a marshmallow Peep on top, makes it extra delicious, extra festive.
Melting the Peep. Melt, bunny, melt. All right. What's not on there? Some of the homemade ones, you know, here we make what feels like hundreds of chocolate dipped peanut butter balls every Christmas. From my mom, my favorite thing is when she makes those cornflake wreaths, you know, that are dyed green. And yeah, like Rice Krispies, like Christmas. They got like a marshmallow thing holding them together. Those are really delicious. Good. Yep. Those are nice. All right. But when you're considering what kind of cookies to leave for Santa, there's maybe a list you should consult.
Yes. So we mapped out the most searched for Christmas cookie in every state. And so if you want your offering for Santa to be best representative of where you live, which who doesn't, you should put out peanut butter blossoms, which are the traditional peanut butter cookies with a little Hershey kiss on top. Those are pretty much, you can't hate them. It's like a Reese's cup in cookie form. Mm-hmm. But overall for the country, Google Trends pointed out a few things. Gingerbread was the most searched for seasonal cookie, and then sugar cookies decorated specifically were the overall top pick from people. I always put out, my family goes a little rogue, and for Santa, we put out kolachkis, which is our family tradition to make. We're Polish. The ones with the raspberry topping are the best. I know some people, my grandma used to always make ones with poppy seed filling. That's where we can lead into controversial territory. though, you know, not everyone likes them. It's an acquired taste, but raspberry is pretty unobtrusive. What's your favorite kind of Christmas cookie?
Well, I do like the raspberry, and my wife's family, again, they grew up with kolaches, and her dad, my father-in-law, just takes up all the poppy seed ones for himself. There's just no one son-in-law who's no longer a son-in-law, maybe because he took some of the poppy seed kolaches when he maybe shouldn't have. So you have
to
be careful.
The thing that is a little infuriating about kolachkis as the person in our family who makes them is that they're so small and it takes so long to like put the tiny amount of filling that you have to do on each one. And then I watch my brother, who's 27, 6'4", a big like lifter guy, and he will just house like 50 of these cookies. And I'm like, that alone took me like an hour and a half to make those 50 cookies, and they're gone in seconds. I mean, it's brutal. So
she says,
you need to put a lot of time if you want to make kolachkis.
I'm sure he gets you a wonderful gift every year though for Christmas. He's probably a great Christmas shopper.
He's a boy, Pat.
And we'll leave it at that. Christina Lurie, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful break. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yes. Happy holidays, everyone.
I don't know, but that's quite the brother-son chemistry going on there.
Yeah. I didn't know what a kolachi was until right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I first of all, I take issue with the whole boy present comment. I give great gifts.
Okay.
Second, I'm like her brother, and I would see those and I'd be like, well, those are mine, so where are yours?
Yeah. Kolachi. Here, we've looked it up. It's a Czechoslovak thing, a type of sweet pastry that holds a portion of fruit surrounded by puffy yeast dough. Common fillings include fruit jam, poppy seeds, prune jam, cottage cheese.
Ooh.
And yes, made right. They're amazing. And I only say made right because, again, much like, say, a croissant or a bagel, you can make these things and go, oh, you made bread. Congratulations. You
know? It's croissant. It's pronounced croissant.
Yes. I mean, you have to give it up to pastry chefs and bakers who understand the difference between all those things. Because, I mean, seriously, there's nothing worse than buying what you think is going to be one thing and it turns out just to be a hunk of bread. Although I saw your face when she mentioned, you know, turning 30 and she's really feeling it now, you know, the old age. And it's like, oh God, to be 30 again, right?
Yeah. If I was turning 30 today, I'd be running out the door, just running down the street, enjoying my...
Oh, running for the sake of running.
Yeah, just my body enjoying it.
to have my 30-year-old knees again. Coming up next, today's history lesson and musical memories. Back in just over a minute, just enough time for you to refill that coffee cup and subscribe to the show as a podcast over at Apple, Spotify, and so forth. We'll be back in a bit. You're up north.
When someone else... You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
If I could be you...
And you could be me? For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, K, K.
Now this man here is going to take me by the hand.
This, of course.
And he's going to lead me down the right path to righteousness and all that other mother jazz.
Would be Francis Albert Sinatra.
Fly me to the moon. Let me... Swing among those stars.
From one of the greatest albums ever, everybody ought to own it. Frank Sinatra and Count Basie live at the Sands from 1966. This is Fly Me to the Moon. Frank Sinatra, born this day 108 years ago, the pride of Hoboken, New Jersey, passed away in 1998.
Could you imagine going to Las Vegas? And this was there?
Yeah, I know. I think about it because, again, I've listened to this album. I couldn't tell you how many hundreds of times. And just imagine being there. Of course, first you'd have to deal with all the cigarette smoke because it would be so thick. And again, like I like to say, you know, the good old days weren't always good.
No, I agree.
As Billy Joel would say. But for moments like this... I could handle that. I'd like that for a night.
Yeah, one night.
Yeah, another birthday for today. And I know the jokes were already made about Bob Barker coming as close as you could to 100 without going over. Bob Barker would have turned 100 today. He passed away back in August, so awfully close to his 100th birthday. Bob Barker, born 100 years ago today. George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue premiered on this day in 1924. Let's get some birthdays. Happy birthday to Dionne Warwick. She's 83 today.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long.
She and Burt Bacharach had quite the combo of songwriter and singer. And a lot of good hits. And then she said, what show did she host for all those years as well? Was it Solid Gold?
I think
one of
so.
Those Saturday
yes.
music review type things. Yeah.
I believe it was Solid Gold.
Yeah. You know, very, very pleasant show host. I mentioned Joe Williams was born this day in 1918, passed away in 1999. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles started a 2-week run at number one on this day in 1970 with Tears of a Clown. Grover Washington Jr. Was born this day in 1943. He passed away back in 1999, but gave us several hits, including this one where Bill Withers did the lyrics and he was on the sax. Got a Milwaukee Brewer birthday today. Stormin' Gorman Thomas is 73 years old today. Actress Regina Hall is 52. Actress Maya Bialik is 48 today. It's weird to think of any of the stars of Big Bang Theory, you know, being in their late 40s already.
Yeah, right?
You know, that's kind of one of the more contemporary cases of, really?
Yeah.
Time. Time is undefeated, man.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. Well, here's another one for you. We're about to play The Glamorous Life. Big hit from Sheila E. But listen to this while you process that today she turns 66. On this day in 1987, George Michael hit number one on the singles chart with Faith. On this day in 1992, Whitney Houston began a 20-week run at number one on the album chart with The Bodyguard.
Dang!
I know. And on this day in 2020, Bad Bunny's El Último Tour del Mundo hit number one on the album chart, becoming the first album entirely in Spanish to top the U.S. album chart.
Nice.
Again, that was 3 years ago. And again, another one of those examples where I hear the snippets, you know, like on the Grammy Awards or things like that, mm-hmm. and where you make that mental note, I should listen to more of this.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My problem is we watch Saturday Night Live either on Sunday mornings or maybe Monday evenings. We catch it later.
Same.
At that point, we just don't have the attention span for the musical guests.
Yeah.
And we'll catch maybe a little bit of it and go, oh, yeah, maybe we'll come back to that. And then we don't. And Bad Bunny is definitely one of those I need to be listening to more.
He hosted it this season.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember if he was the musical. I think he was both. I think he was both the musical guest and the host. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah. He'd have to be.
Yeah.
And that would be, you know, again, the Grammys are going to be in, I think, January this year. Because of the, you know, the strikes and everything else. Mm-hmm.
The Emmys are
because of the race, right? So you're going to have a kind of a more jam-packed awards season.
Yeah.
And so expect a lot of this conversation in the first couple of months of the year going, oh, I should check out that show. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should check out that album. And then you're going to check in with me like a week or two later and say, hey, what'd you, and I was just like, oh, I listened to 5 minutes and then I put it back on the 70s channel, you know, or something.
I put Frank Sinatra back on. Although I got to say December 12th is full. I was looking it up too. There are some other birthdays that are December 12th birthdays. Mm-hmm. Academy Award winning actor, Jennifer Connelly.
Birthday. Yes, she is. Yep.
Jazz drummer, Tony Williams, no relation to Joe Williams.
Cool. Okay.
Let's see who else. Bill Nighy, amazing British actor, and me.
Is today your birthday?
Today's my birthday.
Oh man, I'm sorry. Happy birthday.
Why are you sorry?
Because for my birthday, the whole crew somehow managed to pull off a surprise. There was a Bloody Mary in my desk drawer. There was glitter all over my desk, and I didn't do jack squat for you.
Pat, you're finding out this is if there's somehow a Bloody Mary. Well, first of all, if there was a Bloody Mary in my desk, marry me. Second of all, no worries. I love this day because there's so, especially I share a birthday with so many amazing jazz artists.
Yes,
it's so fantastic.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah. So. All right, making the note, next year, December 12th, it's all jazz music for the bumpers and
what,
you know, whatever you want to pick out. Roger puts up on Facebook, on the lighter side, the new Hot 100 broke overnight from Billboard, and Brenda Lee gets a second week at number one.
Nice.
Now, rocking around the Christmas.
Is my birthday the darker side of this topic matter, Roger Frost?
Oh, no. He put this up earlier. You're not, you know, he did not mean that you are the darker
side. I'm just fighting with Roger. I'm fighting with Roger.
Not in this particular example, anyway. I guess it does make me. I'm taking nothing away from Brenda Lee and a classic, but again, the whole notion these days of measuring music sales, because again, look at this show. The show is on the radio. It's on Apple and Spotify. Yeah. You can watch it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And how do you possibly add all that up? And the same goes for music. It was so much easier back when you just had to go buy a record. You could measure the record sales, and now it's all these platforms and all these places. Thank
back
you.
In my day, records broke when you threw them on the floor.
Congratulations to Brenda, just the same.
Congratulations.
We love the song. We love her. And I love the reaction video of her hearing about this. She was just so happy. So good on her. So much more to cover in our next hour, including Congressman Mark Pocan.
Yay.
Stick around. You're up north.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.